Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 26, Text Number 32.
Nimajanmajatam Gore. Nimajanmajatam Gore. Havapto Paramayanam. Bhavato Paramayanam. Santo Brahma Vidashanta. Santo Brahma Vidashanta. Naradri Devapshumajatam. Naradri Devapshumajatam. Nimajanmajatam Gore. Bhavato Paramayanam. Santo Brahma Vidashanta. Nadi Devapshumajatam.
We'll read the translation. By the servants of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The devotees of the Lord, peacefully fixed in absolute knowledge, are the ultimate shelter for those who are repeatedly rising and falling within the fearful ocean of material life. Such devotees are just like a strong boat that comes to rescue persons who are at the point of drowning. Translation responsively. The devotees of the Lord, peacefully fixed in the absolute knowledge, are the ultimate shelter for those who are repeatedly rising and falling within the fearful ocean of material life. Such devotees are just like a strong boat that comes to rescue persons who are at the point of drowning. There's no purport, so I'll go to text 33. Ananhi praninam prana artanam sharanam tvaham dharma vitamne nam pritya santurva pivaturanam. Translation. Just as food is the life of all creatures, just as I am the ultimate shelter for the distressed, and just as religion is the wealth of those who are passing away from this world, so my dear devotees are the only refuge of persons fearful of falling into a miserable condition of life. Purport. Those fearful of being dragged down by material lust and anger should take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord's devotees, who can engage one safely in the Lord's loving service. Om Ajnana Kimalandisya Jnanandana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitamina Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovisam Savitamina Bhutale Svarmapa Shri Sadhu Panchakalpa Trivasha Kripa Sindhuja Eva Chapatita Nam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we're continuing, this is almost, I think this is the third last text of the chapter, titled the Ayala Gita, where Krishna is explaining through an example to Uddhava how to transgress attachment to material nature, to material activities, by getting the association of saintly devotees. So in this verse, Krishna is explaining how we should be subsisting on the association of devotees, because that will protect us from falling down and misusing this human form of life. So what's been spoken about here in the past 3 or 4 verses is this tendency in the conditioned soul to become very fearful. So we are driven a lot by fear of the unknown, as some people may say, and this fear is a result of ignorance, because we do not know what our destination is. We do not know where we're coming from and where we're going. So ultimately there will be fear in the heart, because we are not in knowledge, we are in complete darkness. So all our activities, although initially in the beginning, because we're driven very much by passion and ignorance, in the beginning we think we know what's going on, we think we know what we're doing, but as time drags on we can understand that we actually have no idea what's going on in this world. And certain points in our life we become very fearful of death, we become very fearful of diseases, we become very fearful of just living in this world, and we try to devise so many means and ways to make us forget that fear. And this is why we take shelter of material activities, because they have a tendency to bewilder us. So we're not really, we don't want to be sane, because we don't want to deal with reality. So we take to intoxication, gross or subtle, to make us run away from the reality. And that reality is that we have to get knowledge, we have to understand why we're here in this world. That we can see, we can experience that not everything is happening as we want it to happen. Not everything is happening and giving us the type of happiness or the type of pleasure that we're looking for. So even when we have an incredible amount of wealth or beauty or fame, still we're very foolish, because we think that this will be with us for a very long time. But the nature of anything that is material, it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So even with our fame or with our wealth, it's there for some time, then gradually it goes down. Just as the body over time is going to start vanishing and eventually just drop. So if when we're driven by this fear of losing what we hold so dear to us, we hold very dear to us these material bodies, because that's all we've known since time immemorial, attachment to the body and the expansions of the body, friends, family, society, community, nation, you know, being a citizen of the planet, as some people say these days. So you become attached to all these different things, and initially the beginning phases of trying to detach ourselves from such understanding, it's very difficult, because then we're losing our the one thing that we've held very dear to us. You know, this concept of I am the body, or I am my mind, or I am my intelligence. I am a woman, I'm a man, I'm an aunt, I'm a this, I'm a that. And all these over time gets annihilated. When the body ends, all these relationships also end. It's the nature of mature relationships in its gross and subtle forms. So for a devotee's understanding, we understand that yes, on a gross platform we're not, you know, actively exposing our attachments to the body and to the family, or to not following regulated principles of freedom. But in a subtle way we get attacked by this foolishness of intelligence or wealth or beauty or knowledge, having a lot of jnana. That is not the aim of life, that is not the aim of why we're here. We're trying to detach ourselves from matter by constantly hearing and chanting about Krishna. So that is the only way that we can actually become fearless, if we hear and chant about Krishna. So in the third canto, there's the pastime of Lord Kapiladev instructing his mother, Devahuti. And in there, pretty much the chapters explaining the life of Kadama Muni and Devahuti and how they were enjoying very nicely. They had all the facilities, they have all the resources for enjoyment. But it came to a point where Kadama Muni, of course, wanted to perfect his meditation after enjoying so many years and being situated in the topmost, you know, enjoyable planet, having wonderful children. It came to a point where he wanted to renounce that and detach himself. And, of course, Mother Devahuti wanted one thing that she could actually live on, and that was fearlessness. Like, she wanted to be fearless. So she had everything, materially speaking, everything was sorted out, but she still had fear in her heart because she didn't understand what her goal in life was. So Kadama Muni, understanding this, and because of their devotion to the Lord, Lord Kapila Dev came as their son. And after his arrival, Kadama Muni praised the Lord, circumambulated the Lord, and then asked for permission to leave and go to the forest and continue his meditation. And Lord Kapila Dev further instructed his mother about how to gain that fearlessness, that what which we're all looking for, because our attachments are there because we don't want to be in fearful situations. So we're attached to our bank account because if anything happens, I have my money. Or attached to our family, we're attached to our mother, we're attached to our father. If anything happens, you can run back to mother, or you can run back to the father, or you can run back to your family for some time being. So we get all these different attachments because, you know, that's all we've ever known. Whereas Krishna starts explaining that actually to Lord Kapila Dev, explaining that in order to get real fearlessness, you know, from the gross, subtle platform, we have to take shelter of devotional service. We have to take shelter of Krishna. This is the only way that we can actually become fearless, by the association of Krishna's devotees. They actually help us get detached from material concept of life, of functioning on the false ego, thinking that I am this or I am that. And this is something that we constantly see reoccurring in the themes of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have different pastimes, you know, the song by Pingala explaining her situation and how foolish she was to identifying with her body, thinking that her beauty and her, you know, sweet words is something that is going to go on with her for a very long time. And she got the realization that actually I've been very foolish because I haven't understood what the goal of life is, and that is to understand who Vishnu is, who Krishna is. So we have the example of Pingala, we have the example of the pastime told by Narada Muni, Puranjana, the allegorical pastime of King Puranjana, and how material attachments will bring us down. As this theme of these past few verses are speaking, that being attached to material association or material concept of life will bring us down into lower form of existence. So we're of course fearful of having a lower body, a lower species, because we won't have that ability to inquire about the Absolute Brahman. No, we won't have the ability to, you know, we won't have an assembly of cats and dogs hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Or bunnies, as Bhakta Prabhu was explaining, that when they were preaching in Geelong, they had a bunny, a rabbit, and that rabbit's name was it Bhagavan Das Bunnyji?
Yes.
Bhagavan Das Bunnyji Maharaj was their resident, and every morning Bhagavan Das Bunnyji would come and hear Bhagavatam, just sit there, and as soon as they say Granthurai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Bunnyji would hop off and go and do his bunny duties. So unless you're a very special bunny, you know, you can in the lower species come into the assembly and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. But in general, we do not have lower species of life that, you know, have this assembly of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Only on the human platform we get this opportunity to take refuge in the process of devotional service. So we can take refuge in so many different things in this material world. You know, we can take refuge in our last name, right? Because sometimes, oftentimes you go somewhere, you do something great or you do something bad, and your elderly people will ask you, who are your parents? What is your last name? Well, certainly from where I was brought up, they would always ask, what's your mother's name? So what kind of family are you coming from? Oh, you're such and such a family, okay. Or you're coming from this family and that family. So sometimes like, oh, it's the son of, you know, Mr. Bill Gates. Give him all the pleasures, give him all the facility. Or your, you know, Prince Harry, oh, give him all the sense pleasure. Give it to him. Because they're identifying with this last name. So we take shelter of all these different things, or we take shelter of what we like to do best, our hobbies or what we do in our spare time. I'm known as a great chess player. I'm known, you know, as a great athlete, a sportsman. This is my identity. This is who I am. If anything fails, I just flip out. I am such and such. I am this swimmer, or I am that gymnast, or whatever. So we take shelter of these things because they give us some sense of security. Oh, I'm going to be okay as long as they know that I'm Ian Thorpe. You know, things are right. They know that I'm the great Ian Thorpe. You know, I'm the swimmer, and they can identify who I am publicly. So I'm safe. I'm secure. And then when all these things start going away, or if we're known as a great artist, a great singer, and then our voice dies, or we get hooked into drugs or intoxication, then our name and fame goes down, and then our misery just goes up, our anxiety goes up, because the one thing we've been attached to all of a sudden is being ripped away from us. And that's the one thing that we know. I'm Whitney Houston, I'm a singer, but now I'm hooked onto crack and cocaine and no one cares about me anymore. How depressing. So people go into this state of depression, of anxiety, because their attachments to their voice, which gives them name and fame, has been taken away from them over time. So we attach ourselves to so many things that are meaningless. Like we've had, history is just always repeating itself. We can try and be the next Adolf Hitler. We can try and be the next Marilyn Monroe. We can try and be the next anyone. We can try and be famous. And over time, things change. There's a new Marilyn Monroe, then there's a new Britney Spears, there's a new Brad Pitt, there's a new everything. There's a new Shah Rukh Khan, there's a new Aishwarya Rai. It's just always changing. So it's nothing new, it's nothing great, it's nothing exotic in the material world. The same thing keeps on happening. We're still suffering at the end of the day because we're attaching ourselves foolishly to the conception of I and mine, to the conception of this is my body and these are my expansions of the body, my family, my friends, my community, my job. Right? I'm a humanitarian worker, I support the SPCA, or I'm saving the whales. So many different things. So we know how easy it is to attach ourselves to activities. And this attachment in spiritual life is then its pure way. When we attach ourselves to the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, all the nine processes of devotional service, they give us the methods to detach ourselves from things that are impermanent, from things that give us a hellish existence. And they attach us to hearing liberating topics, liberating subject matters, and that is taking shelter of the devotees. And only the process of devotional service can actually free us from this fear that's been driven. You go anywhere, you go into this airport, there's detectors everywhere. You know, they measure your temperature, they measure your heartbeat. You know, is he anxious? Ooh, maybe he's anxious because he has a bomb in his bag, or he has methane, or he's going to make a bomb. He can't take more than 100 mls on the plane. So all these ridiculous ways to instill fear in people's hearts is already being done over and over again. So there's a lot of fear in this world, in every single type of avenue. There's just fear always being instilled in the heart. And this fear is smashed subtly and grossly by the process of devotional service. Because we start understanding these material creations, these illusions are coming and going. I do not have to pray to coming to anxiety. Right? You don't have masses of, you know, sometimes you have these mass weddings, I don't know, somewhere in Asia, or these group meditations. You don't have to meditate in a group to say, Krishna, please help us to experience some suffering so that we can gradually start to worship you, because we'll understand that this material world is not a nice place. We don't have to pray intensely to suffer. We don't have to pray for happiness. It comes at its own accord. Krishna has already said in Bhagavad Gita that the happiness and distress is just like the winter and summer season. It's just coming and going, like clockwork. This is the nature of the material energy. Happiness one day, distress one day, the modes of material nature, they're always competing. Krishna has explained over and over again. And how we actually don't get affected by that is to how much we attach ourselves to the process of devotional service. Not just one specific process, but to the entire process of taking shelter of Krishna. And the best way to do that, because we're not qualified enough to directly take instruction from Krishna in one sense, Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the pastime of King Puranjana that the super soul, know that Krishna gives guidance either directly or indirectly through the super soul or the spiritual master. So when we're pure enough, we can directly take guidance from the super soul in the heart. But when we're still impure, we have to take shelter of a spiritual master. And he's the one who will help us understand the method of extricating ourselves from material activities. So this is the process that we have to follow by taking shelter. Specifically here, this entire chapter is given to us to learn how to take shelter of devotee association. But they give us the eyes to see Krishna. They give us, you know, the ears to hear about Vrindavan, about the pastimes of Krishna. And within this association, we can actually get to understand more who Krishna is. We just don't directly try and worship Krishna. We have to go through the saintly devotees, because they carry Krishna within their heart. So I'll just read a few verses that I've found to be quite instrumental in helping us understand this. And this is the glories of devotional service in the third canto. So Lord Kapiladev is continuing to instruct his mother, Devahuti, about this process, this glorious process of devotional service. So here, this is text 35. O my mother, my devotees always see the smiling face of my form with eyes like the rising morning sun. They like to see my various transcendental forms, which are all benevolent, and they also talk favorably with me. So this is a very personalistic way of understanding that Krishna is there in the process of devotional service. So we see the deity form, we hear Krishna's pastimes, and because Krishna is absolute, Krishna is there in his name and in his form. So it's not just a random name, Krishna, Hare, Rama, and Krishna is personally present. So we gradually, this gets revealed as we read the scripture, and then as we practice devotional service, as we perform the nine processes of devotional service, this realization has to come. If we're practicing properly, this realization that Krishna is there in his name, then we'll start surrendering wholeheartedly to Krishna. Upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord, smiling and attractive, and hearing his very pleasing words, the pure devotee almost loses all other consciousness. His senses are freed from all other engagements, and he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor. Thus, because he is completely absorbed in thought of me, the devotee does not desire even the highest benediction attainable in the upper planetary systems, including Satyaloka. He does not desire the 8 material perfections obtained from mystic yoga, nor does he desire to be elevated to the kingdom of God. Yet even without desiring them, the devotee enjoys, even in this life, all the offered benedictions. So, basically in this entire chapter, Krishna has explained the glories of devotional service, that Krishna, in this world, you know, he brings so many things, family, friends, home, etc. And over time, all of these things get taken away. All these material relationships get taken away, but this process of devotional service can't be taken away at any point, because that is Krishna himself. All the processes are directly dealing with Krishna. Even if it's just, you know, hearing in the Srimad Bhagavatam one dynasty after the other, chapter after chapter, reading names over and over again, this is all linked to Krishna, because it will ultimately explain the glories of Krishna as the Supreme Lord. So all of this is meant to purify us and release us from this stressful, anxious situation of being in the material world. So although we're living in the material world, we have this knowledge that can help us escape this fearful condition of life, this fearful mentality. So we become confident that Krishna will give us all protection. So this is one of the limbs of Sharanagati, that we're confident that Krishna will give us protection, that we have full faith that Krishna is going to give us full protection. So I'll stop there and ask if there's any comments or questions on these two verses. Okay. Grantarai Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Dhani Sai Gautama Nandini.